Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hello, I'm Laura Shepherd.
And I'm Phil Humphreys.
And we are welcoming you today
to our Peapod from Wilds Farm.
It's the Peapod, on location with Laura Shepherd and Phil Humphreys. Shine
Radio. Thank you for joining us in the Peapod. This week we're at Wilds Farm, home to Christmas trees, gin, jazz, Shakespeare and much more.
We're recording our interviews where else but in the bar. And we're going to be chatting to the owner, Nick, and to the events manager, Anna, as they prepare for a summer full of events.
The P stands for Petersfield.
I think it's an amazing place to live.
The Peapod.
So, Laura, what have you been up to? I bet you've been getting theatrical again, haven't you? Your life is a drama.
It really is a total drama. I've been doing a lot of theatre in different ways, and I know that you have as well. So I'm directing Pygmalion down at the Spring in Havant, which is going very well. There's a lot of absences, but I'm loving it, and they're lovely. I'm also production managing a local group. Lion and Unicorn are putting on a double bill at Sheet Village Hall at the end of the month. So I've been kind of busy getting that sorted out. I'm also going to be directing locally for the autumn. So I've started to get sort of organised that. At the same time, I'm taking two shows to the Woking Drama Festival. So,
oh my goodness.
It's just a little bit bonkers, not going to lie. So let's move on from
I'm going to buy you a diary for Christmas because I think that'll really help.
Yeah, but the trouble is I'm not very good at saying no. But tell me about your play. How's that going?
It's going really well, actually. We've just started the blocking rehearsals and we've got a fantastic cast and a lovely set being designed. Oh, it's going to be a brilliant show. In the October, a murder is announced.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Like a bit of Agatha Christie, I have to say. Ooh. And what else have you been doing? Because I know that you are a naturist, Phil. We've heard you on the Peapod before.
Chief naturist correspondent.
Exactly. Tell me what you're up to this summer, because this is the time for it, isn't it?
Well, it's going to be a naturist summer because actually this week it's the first of three skinny dips at the open air pool in Petersfield. Then next week I am down in Somerset at an event called Nude Fest, running wine tastings in a big circus tent.
It just ticks all of your boxes, doesn't
it? Really
it's
does.
Nude and it's wine tasting.
I have a great time. This will be the third year that I've done the wine tastings for them. And it's as popular as ever. So that's going to be great. Come back, don't even unpack the car, and off to France. And we're staying down at a new naturist site we've not been to before in the Tarn. And then across to one that we stayed at last year, Le Couderc, which is in the Dordogne. Wonderful place, fantastic restaurant. I liked it so much last year. Not only are we going back, but I wrote an article about it, which has just been published in this quarter's BN magazine.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, I've got to pick you up on pack the car, unpack the car, repack the car. I mean, presumably you don't need to take many clothes.
No, but we do need to take the tent.
Now I'm with you. But it's nice that you're going to France because, you know, the weather's a little bit kind to being naturist there,
a little
isn't
spotty
it?
Here. And yes, next week, it may be naturist in name only.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Actually, get the winter coats out.
I'm taking my thick socks. We would love to hear from you. So if you have a story you'd like us to cover or would just like to say hi, please call or WhatsApp us on 01730 555 500 or send an email to team@shineradio.uk.
Coming up, we will hear from the friends of Petersfield Heath. We're talking terrapins, lizards, sand and climate. It's their AGM and we find out who their guest speaker is this year. But first, we will be speaking to Nick Rook Blackstone from Wilds Farm.
The P stands for Petersfield.
I can't believe that we live in such an idyllic place.
The Peapod.
So, here at Wilds Farm, we've tracked down the guy in charge, Nick Rook Blackstone, which is a heck of a name. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm very well, thank you.
So, tell us a little bit about Wilds Farm. Looking out, we're surrounded by lots of trees. Was it ever a real farm?
It hurts when people say that. It's still a real farm. It's just that we've diversified. Yes, we were a dairy farm originally. My dad had some pigs. We've been beef. I did organic veg for many, many years. People may have remembered me as Organic in the Petersfield, driving around on my bike occasionally. We've done it all. We're merely moving with the times.
So is there any of that old kind of traditional farming still going on at all?
Well... we are still farming the soil, which is as traditional as you possibly can be when it comes to farming. We are merely using the land for a different purpose rather than grazing cattle.
Okay. And how long has the farm been going?
Well, in our family, we've been here 60 years. I mean, the farm itself dates right back to the 1800s. That's when we've got records to. Beyond that, I think it was part of the Heathland and Common. It was cleared, just after the war.
And you're now, what, second generation here?
I'm second generation, yes. Yeah.
And will there be more? Is this going to be... Are you going to establish a dynasty of wild farmers?
I've got nephews, nieces, and I've got my own children. If we could get them off their iPads and their iPhones and got them interested in actually leaving the house, maybe at this stage, maybe one of them's got an inkling of sort of interest. The others, you know, we don't want to push them into it. I mean, it's a hard way of living, for sure. But if they want to do it and they're interested enough, then we'd be delighted to carry on.
Brilliant. And you talked about diversifying from the old traditional farming. So how many different activities do you undertake at the farm now?
Well, I mean, I know you're going to talk events later. That's our latest sort of branching out. I mean, it's not traditional farming in its own right, but we are going to be using our buildings and all the facilities we have that are otherwise just sat here doing nothing. But apart from the Christmas trees, we're looking at growing pumpkins again later in the year. Just to try and make use of the ground between the Christmas trees so people can go and actually explore and look for them.
Oh, so underplanting of Christmas trees with pumpkins.
Indeed, yeah. It's a good way of us keeping the tree plantations clean throughout the year, because sometimes we tend to get carried away doing other things and they get left, and at the end of the year we suddenly go, oh no, look at the mess. So by doing the pumpkins amongst the trees, it makes us focus right the way through the year on keeping the place clean, tidy and up together.
So Nick, tell me about a typical day for you, because Christmas trees are a very seasonal thing, but you're clearly working very hard. So outside of events, what are you doing farming wise?
So my working day starts at daylight. I go out. Watering this time of year is probably the first thing I do, and then crop husbandry. So whether it's weed control, pest control, we have to go out and monitor the crops. So that's the first thing. I mean, this morning, for instance, I've been out pulling out the old stumps from 2 years ago, making way for the pumpkins that we're putting in today. So that's today's routine. We've still got some pigs on the farm, which we need to get fed. The day is taken up with all that sort of general husbandry, and then fencing, all the things that, you know, throughout the year slowly dilapidate and need to be kept on top of.
Is it daylight to daybreak?
Pretty much. I have to say, as I get older, I cannot make it to dusk. 6 o'clock, I find myself having a little kip on one of the sofas. It's quite hard work.
Yeah, it sounds it.
And as you start to describe your day and the fencing and the watering, it actually does sound a lot like farming, doesn't it?
It is. You know.
Yeah. But how important do you think it is nowadays for farmers to diversify? Is it possible to still be in business as a pure dairy farm as this once was?
Not on, I mean, if we were still in dairy, the answer is a categoric no. I mean, you know, regulations have changed so dramatically since we were in dairy farming, whether it's, you know, keeping your slurry under cover until you can spread it on the land and you've got about a 3-day window to do it. I mean, you know, it's impossible. The costs involved with storing slurry through the year, the costs of feeding cattle has gone up. I mean, you know, I've lost track, if I'm totally honest. It's quite depressing sometimes when you read the press and you realise, the farming press that is, you know, the margins that are involved with these farms. And they just need to get bigger and more mechanised in order to, you know, even break even, a lot of them. For us, obviously, we're a tiny little parcel of land. We used to rent lots of land, but the price of land, renting land, is astronomical now around here because most people are grazing horses on it and prepared to pay a lot of money to rent. Whereas, you know, I think I was paying in the good old days £17 an acre or something crazy. Now it's hundreds of pounds an acre.
Incredible.
To rent, yeah.
Gosh. So with the diversification in place, with all these different activities, on balance, would you say that you're happy with the way things are going? Are you a cheerful farmer or are you a traditional farmer who just looks at the sky and says, well, goodness me, it's not like last year?
Well, I would like to think my glass is half full. There are definitely days where, you know, I mump and grump and moan and groan and complain. But generally speaking, no, I am happy. I'm happy with how we're progressing. I'm excited. But also my dad's excited, you know, and that gives me extra sort of get up and go as well. When I know that my dad is fully behind me and going, yeah, you know, this is great, because it's a massive change for him.
Does he still take an active role in the business?
Yes. I mean, a farmer never retires. You know, I'll still be calling on him for help and advice always. And I mean, he was out there this morning mowing up on top of the hill in prep for the Shakespeare that we've got coming up. And he'll go out and do whatever he can.
Well, that all sounds very exciting. And you've given us a little tease about the Shakespeare, which we're going to talk about shortly.
The P stands for Petersfield.
It's a lovely area, lovely people, lovely atmosphere.
The Peapod.
Now we've tracked down Anna, who is the events manager at Wilds Farm. How are you doing, Anna?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Now, you've got quite a busy job on your hands, haven't you? Tell us a little bit about what's on your mind right now.
Oh, goodness, I don't know if you want to ask that. There's lots of things on my mind. But we're very busy right now preparing for this weekend, which is our Jazz and Gin event. We're welcoming East of Meon onto the farm to perform for us, and we're being accompanied with lots of delicious drinks from Dampney's Remarkable Drinks.
Oh, what a shame this show is going out just after that's happened.
It is.
But we're hoping that that is a splendid event for you. But there's lots more to come during the summer, isn't there? Tell me about the Shakespeare that's coming up.
Yes, so we're welcoming Shakespeare back again. We're delighted to have them on board. They are coming and performing from the 16th to the 21st of July. And this year they are doing their very own performance of Romeo and Juliet.
There's also a festival. In fact, there's a couple of festivals that you run here. So what goes on with those? I mean, is this Glastonbury in Hampshire?
Well, I mean, I think maybe not quite yet. Maybe one day. So we're a bit smaller than that. So we're looking forward to having a Summer Wilds Fest this year, which is open to all ages. So some of our events are are very much geared towards an adult audience, like our Wild Westival at the beginning of May, which was great fun. But this one, we're actually opening this up, so it's open to any ages, and children are very welcome to join their parents and join in the fun and games.
So what's all the fun and games?
So for Summer Wilds Fest, we've got lots of live music. So we are welcoming Bluestone Bills. We are return of Southampton Ukulele Jam. So obviously always full of life, lots of fun for everyone. And we also have Black Cherry Jam. And then we've got face painting, Nick's creating all sorts of fabulous games for everybody to play, lots of activities going on.
Is his imagination running wild again here?
As always, Nick's imagination will be running very wild.
And how much do you have to rein him in? I mean, who's telling us all sorts of things earlier?
Yes, he is quite an excitable puppy.
And of course, throughout all your events, you don't just have the event. You've got an establishment here with lots of different spaces. And, of course, we're recording this in your bar. And you actually have your very own beers, don't you? Tell us about those.
We do now. Yeah, it's really exciting. So this started this year, just before Christmas, for the first time, our collaboration with Phantom Brewing Company. And they created our very own beer, which is named Wildest Dreams, which has an amazing label as well. It incorporates all the themes of the farm here. And that's a pale ale craft beer. And now we've also just recently introduced our very own Wildest Lager.
Ooh.
So when you have your Wilds Fest, you've got drink, you've got music, you've got games designed by Nick. What kind of food do you have?
So we'll be having all sorts of delicious loaded fries. They're really yummy. We've got burgers and hot dogs. We're keeping it simple for, you know, children to be able to enjoy all of the food at that one as well. And we're also having some pulled pork, so a little bit of something for everybody.
And what about further on into the year, what else have you got on your far horizon that you're really laid back about at the moment that you don't have to worry about just yet?
Well, we've got quite a lot of private parties and weddings coming up as well at the farm.
Weddings?
Yeah, so we are available to hire for any private celebrations as well. So that's been really exciting. We've been doing that over the last couple of years. So we've got quite a lot of those to think about. Lots of exciting planning with couples. That's really fun. And after that, we've also got our annual Wilds Fest coming up on the 9th of November.
Can't you seem to have a festival here and there. You've got a festival for everything.
We have got that festival feel, yes. We very much enjoy a really fun party and also, you know, letting the imaginations run wild with these themed events as well.
What happens in the November one? Because obviously, you know, there's a real summer vibe to festivals normally.
Yeah, well, there is normally, but actually our Autumn Wilds Fest is really popular locally, and we always have a really busy event, and that all takes place inside. So our summer one, we're taking up on the hill, really enjoying the countryside and the outdoors and the beauty of that view. But our autumn one is all about, you know, coming into these lovely rustic buildings and all having a really good party together. We have really great live music. This year we've got Wide Eyes performing, and then the return of the Alibi Rock Band, who are really popular here too. And yeah, it just has a really good vibe. We have the fires burning in the yard, so everyone can gather there, but also a really good party atmosphere indoors. And yeah, everyone loves it. And I think, although we think festivals in the summer is a popular time, but I think having that to look forward to when it's dark and grey outside and a really good festival feel party indoors.
Oh, an opportunity to feel warm and cosy in the midst of winter.
Absolutely.
I just want to take you back to the weddings. We know about Nick's vivid imagination. Is he ever asked to come up with anything special for any of the weddings?
Well, I mean, sometimes he does help brides to arrive to their ceremonies. So that's taken place, perhaps in a decorated trailer. We did have a request recently to maybe arrive in the bucket of a tractor, but we felt that might be a little bit dirty on the wedding dress.
Oh. And the bride is in white, highlighted with mud and silage and a few
wedding,
brambles. Well, Anna, thank you so much for chatting with us, and may we wish you well with all of your events throughout the year.
Thank you very much.
The P stands for Petersfield.
It's like the best town ever.
The P Pod.
And now we hear from Shine Radio volunteer Mike Waddington, who's chatting with the secretary of the Friends of Petersfield Heath.
Can you just tell me what is the organisation Friends of Petersfield Heath, and why is it an important thing?
The origin of it was when the golf course, which is now on, you know, the south side of Sussex Road, used to extend right over on the heath, and the lease on that ran out in 1997, and so the Petersfield Town Council then had to take over responsibility for the heath. Friends of Petersfield Heath was set up in round about 1999, I think it was, to advise the Petersfield Town Council on the management plan that they were putting in place for the heath, and to organise work parties of people who at weekends go and clear bracken and do various management tasks around the heath to just manage the habitat. It's really important, I think, because for the Petersfield community, well, we all love the heath and the pond. It's not just from the wildlife point of view. It's an important resource for cricket club. They're a very good fishing pond, I understand. Dog walkers, people just walking their babies round. And of course, archaeologists. It's a very important archaeological site dating back to the Stone Age, and the Bronze Age barrows on the heath are really quite significant.
And how do you get to be a member of the Friends of Petersfield Heath?
They contact me, basically. But it's just £5 a year for a single, £10 for a family. If you Google Friends of Petersfield Heath, it will come up straight away.
You've got an annual meeting coming up.
That's on the 26th of June in the evening. It will take place in the United Reformed Church Hall in College Street. It's partly for the business side to elect a new committee for the year ahead, but we always have some sort of speaker and presentation as well. And this year it'll be by Robin Hart, who many people in Petersfield will know of. He's the tree warden for Petersfield, and he wrote the Petersfield Tree Trail, which some people may have seen.
Yeah.
And he's given a talk on the highlights of the life of a plant hunter.
And if you want to find out more about the Friends of the Heath, this is a good place to come?
Yes, indeed. But if anyone wants to come along, and they're very welcome to contact me, and they can contact me again, the secretary, via the website.
Why should people volunteer with Friends of Petersfield Heath?
The volunteer work parties work mainly from September to March. They stop in March, they meet on Sunday mornings and do a few hours. It's very active, and it's everything from clearing bracken and so on to managing drainage ditches and paths. They tend to stop in around March because of nesting birds. They are doing some work through the summer where they very carefully check an area for nests first to make sure they're not disturbing it. By clearing some of the bracken, it encourages heather to grow, and that encourages invertebrates, spiders, butterflies, and the common lizard. It's also great fun. A lot of youngsters. I think this year we've had 9 people from the Petersfield School doing their Duke of Edinburgh Award as volunteers there. Church's School have been very actively involved as well in the path construction, and so I think they all enjoy themselves and they're doing a really important job.
Is there an issue about climate change in the heath?
Inevitably, I think there's issues of climate change everywhere, and the heath is no exception. I mean, the variation in levels of water on the pond are, of course, one of the reasons why we've had these recent blooms of blue-green algae, and they've got much worse, I believe, in recent years, probably because of, well, the last winter was very mild, and very wet. And indeed, you know, that's something that needs to be addressed.
One of the things that always surprises me is the amount of sand I come across when walking around there. Is that just, is that been put there, or is that just something that occurs naturally?
No, my understanding is it's just the natural habitat here. It's heathland. Of course, heathlands obviously often contains a lot of sand. As you know, we're right opposite the lake and our garden is basically white sand. So it's quite difficult to grow stuff.
How many members do you have?
We have around 100 memberships. Yeah. Some of those are single people. Yeah. Probably the majority are family memberships. So in practice, I guess the number of members actively involved would be somewhere around about 150, 160. We also have a few local companies who have like a corporate membership, and we certainly like to encourage more of those.
Coming up, we are back with Nick talking all things Christmas. But first, here's your What's On guide.
The Peapod Events Guide. What's on in the Petersphere?
Yes, plenty going on around the Petersphere, and the longest day is coming. There's a summer solstice walk at the Queen Elizabeth Country Park on Thursday night. It starts at 6 p.m. on Thursday at Beacon Hill and runs through until Friday daybreak, where you arrive at the top of Butser. Tickets are £35 and include breakfast on arrival. Beedale School hosts its Summer Music Exhibitioners Concert also on Thursday. It's free to get in to enjoy the last musical concert of the academic year in the beautiful Lupton Hall on the campus. And if art is more your thing, well, there's Paint and Sip at Gallery No. 30 on Thursday in Petersfield on the High Street. It's relaxed painting in good company with a drink or two on the side. All materials are provided and entry is £28. And you can find full details of those events and many more like them from right around the Petersphere at shineradio.uk.
If you're running an event, get it in the guide at shineradio.uk.
We are back with Nick here at Wild's Farm. And Nick, I'd like to talk to you this time about what you've got coming up in the autumn and the winter. Now, you touched on it earlier, and this is very much your farming-based things rather than events things, although that does coincide as well. I think it does have events involved with it as well. So what have you got coming up in the autumn?
So in the autumn, this year, for the first time, we are trialling pumpkins again. I say that for the first time. We used to grow lots of pumpkins when we did the organic side of things. But now we're sort of going to experiment with growing them amongst the trees to make it slightly more exciting to go out and look for a pumpkin rather than sort of spot it a mile off in a flat field. And it's just utilising our fields and the land that we've got that's sort of sitting there vacant while the trees are still growing. So that will obviously happen in October, hopefully. We have planted the first batch of pumpkins already, which are looking a bit cold and yellow. And
that's summer for you.
That is summer. And today we're just about to plant the second batch out, which have almost overtaken the first batch.
So what events are you doing with pumpkins? Is it just a case of come and pick your own?
Well, like anything we do here, we know that you can buy a million pumpkins between here and Petersfield, and likewise Christmas trees. So we do have to make it slightly different. So yes, you know, we will be putting on the tractor trailer ride. There will be a sort of spooky walk, or, you know, I mean, you know it, other people may not know, but I like to use my imagination and we create stuff here. So yes, there will be stuff to do, stuff to see. I don't want to give it all away, otherwise it won't be a surprise. But I will say one thing. In my head, I'm hoping to build a giant made out of all the stumps that we've just pulled out of the field, because the tree stumps from the northern fir, they look like teeth, or the roots of teeth.
Ooh.
And I've got a feeling that it would make a particularly ugly looking hairy giant. So that's my plan.
That sounds very intriguing.
So not only are we going to carve ugly teeth into the pumpkins, you're going to have ugly teeth surrounding all the pumpkins.
Yeah, well, let's hope. Let's see how it goes.
And what are your plans for Christmas? I mean, I know it's your busiest time, right?
It is my busiest time. I mean, weirdly enough, it for me, it is my downtime, because it's the one time we've got lots of staff running around and I don't actually have to do everything myself. And I can sit back and point my finger at things and say, do that, which is wonderful for me. I actually have more of a rest through December than any other time of the year. But yes, it is really busy and it is what we work to. And I love this place when it is full of people having fun. And, you know, it's very Christmassy and it's great. And yes, but we're always thinking of the next thing to make it like, oh, they didn't have that last year. So, for instance, last year, I never got round to doing it, but I wanted to do Ho Ho Hole in One.
Oh, no, I like that.
Yeah, it's a bit cheesy, but, you know, it was just to have like a little crazy golf course around the Christmas trees or do something.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're the sort of things that, you know, my mind is buzzing at night thinking about.
And what of the standard fare will you still be offering this year that people might have seen before?
Well, hopefully some Christmas trees. I have to say, I know it's been a miserable summer. It hasn't been a bad growing year for us. It's been great, you know, nice and cool, no frost, rain at the right times. So the trees are looking fantastic, which is good news. So obviously Christmas trees, the Christmas shop will have the usual sort of hopefully locally sourced stuff, as well as the other sort of Christmas ornaments and things that we do, wreaths that are made locally. So yeah.
And we're recording this in the bar, but if I look through the door there, you seem to have acquired a Swiss chalet in the middle of Hampshire. What's going on with that?
Well, it's only the old cow shed. I mean, it's, you know, anything looks good if you put a bit of wood on it. but yes, these are our, you know, our log cabins, effectively. They do look Swiss, it has to be said. But, you know, they give off the right vibe.
And did I read something about après-ski?
Yes, last year we had our first après-ski, well, it was après-tree retro-ski evening.
The rhyming is just on point, I have to say.
And it was our most well-attended party ever. We had Daydream Disco, which are a young couple that have just set up their mobile disco, and I have to say, it was as cool as anything. And everyone makes such an effort when we do a themed event, and they came in there, you know, all in one old ski suits, and the weather was kind given how wet it was last year, and the place was absolutely heaving with adults and kids alike in ski wear, you know, boogie on down to some disco classics.
It sounds fantastic. I need to dig out some photos of that.
Yeah. Well, I just picked up another set of 20 skis. I just couldn't resist. I saw them on Market Facebook, and there they were for, you know, peanuts in the middle of summer. And I thought, yeah, do it. So more skis.
And you've got quite a handy little slope just out the back here. Could we see you skiing down that slope?
Well, I have to confess, I did even consider a stainless steel toboggan run at one point, and then health and safety sort of came into the back of my mind, and I thought, maybe not. But then one of the other things that we thought we would do was do walking slalom up there, but even that's probably a bit dangerous after a beer or two.
You just need to wait for the snow to fall and then you can have a go on a tea tray.
Yeah. Well, when I was a child, we used to fill up old fertiliser bags with snow and you could pick up some proper speed down that slope.
I bet you could. It's quite steep.
Yeah. It used to hurt, though, when you hit a frozen molehill. But apart from that, it was good.
Yeah, maybe we're back to the health and safety thing after all. Yeah. Nick, thank you so very much.
No, not at all.
And so we come to the end of this week's Peapod. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks also to our guests, our editor M. Sefton-Smith, the Shine Radio team, and of course you, our listeners.
So from Laura and I this week, bye.
Songs that shine forever.
I'm so in love with you.
Oh, no, no.
And the brightest tunes of today. Great music and local information, only from Petersfield's Shine Radio.